All right, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 10. I find it interesting that the message the Lord gave us for today had nothing to do with me thinking, well, I'm going to preach out of the same chapter that Brother James is going to be studying in Sunday school. It didn't happen that way, but the Lord did speak to me about a message from the Word of God and brought me to this chapter. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. And folks, we want to preach on the subject this morning, and I know already we'll need to finish up the second half of it this afternoon. But we want to preach on the subject of zeal without knowledge. Zeal without knowledge. And you'll see here in these verses that Brother Paul addresses that very issue. He says here in beginning in verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Mark both of those phrases, folks, because they're going to be critical for you and to enable you, help you to understand what our message is about this morning. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, folks, among human beings that live on this earth, there will always be some folks who will find something to be zealous about. You can't miss the fact that wherever you look in this world, there are folks that are acting out as a result of some zeal that they have. We've got people today, this very past week and weeks before, breaking out window lights and damaging, smashing up cars and costing police because they've got a zeal about something, and that zeal leads them to do things that are really, really strange and off the wall, and aberrant is what I'm going to call them. And that's exactly what we see here with these Jews. They have a zeal of God, but not according to righteousness. Now, and among the things that can provoke people to be zealous, I believe religion is at the top of the list. Amen. And you might say, well, it looks like today a lot of the stuff that's going on where people are getting zealous and they're showing off and showing out, it isn't about religion. Well, it is, folks. Because it's either anti-religion or it's pro-religion. And we find that today, while Christians, true Christians, are being nice and quiet and peaceable in the world, we've got a bunch of people that are making war against Christians. They have a zeal for their own position, a zeal for their own agenda, but not according to the knowledge of God. So everywhere we look, we find people acting out because of zeal, and I believe religion is at the top of the list. And I say religion because in my experience, I've learned that many humans are not really particularly excited about God and Christ, but they can really get excited about some aspect of religion. Now, I know that sounds contradictory, but I want you to think about the fact that religion is not necessarily connected with the things of God. And I'm going to make a daring statement this morning by saying that the bulk of religions in the world are in no way connected with nor identifying with the great God Jehovah. They're about something else or some other, I'll put it in quotations, God. And so religion is a huge, huge promoter of zeal. In fact, I believe that there are far more people today that are not particularly bowled over by the Lord, but that they are involved in religion because the religion gives them a reason to have a crusade. The religion gives them a reason to have a crusade. Be careful about that, folks, and think about it seriously, because This may be the keystone of what we're going to talk about today. So I say again, humans are religious folks. And you can see when you think about humanity and religion that the human mind is very adaptable to religion, even in its natural and its carnal state. Amen. Are all of you aware of the fact that almost all religions on the planet generate from the carnal mind of man? We don't often think about religion that way, but give it a little thought and you realize that almost that the bulk of, the majority of religions across the earth are the products of the human mind and have nothing to do with the great God who owns all of creation. So as it turns out though, when people embrace religion without proper understanding, they will invariably adopt beliefs and practices that are far removed from the thoughts and the principles of God. That's the way human religion always drifts. And folks, it's everywhere. I want you to be aware of that. You might say, well, we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and we feel like we are practicing the true religion. Let me tell you something, folks. Independent, sovereign grace, missionary Baptist churches are not exempt from having human-conceived and practiced religion in it. And that's the danger, because it's everywhere. Now, we've selected our text because it's about some religious fanatics that Paul recognized, some religious fanatics that had a lot of interest in the practices of their religion. I say in the practices of their religion. But they had only nothing but misconceptions about what God wanted in a pure and true religion. And they had a misconception about what God defines as true religion. So as we think about that, let's think first of all about the fact that our text tells us something about the Israelites that Paul is writing to, and that is that they had a zeal of God. They had a zeal of God. Now, we might say it like this today. They had a zeal for what they conceived to be the things of God. That's what the apostle is telling us. Now, let me say again and emphasize again, some of the most misdirected zealots in the world stumble through their lives and their religious life, especially doing zealous things in the name of the Lord, and they are far afield in the accuracy by which they're supposed to be serving God. They're off into the realm of the human mind's conception of serving God. And let me warn us again, and I may do this a number of times during this message, let me warn us again that it can happen in the middle of an independent Baptist church. I wouldn't be bringing this message, folks, this morning if it wasn't a threat in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as much as it could be anywhere else. Now, I realize that if you go out here to one of these heretical denominations and you sit in their congregation, you can just mark it down that the only part of that religious service that might have a smear of God in it would be if someone stood up and read from the Bible, the right Bible, a Bible that was translated correctly, read about the Lord. That would be the part that might have something in it that's about God, but the rest of that religious operation is man-made. It's made of man. It exists and goes along according to the dictates of man-made wisdom or knowledge, if you will. And so, some of the most misdirected zealots in the world will stumble through their religious life doing zealous things in the name of the Lord. But I emphasize again, misdirected individuals. Amen. We've got to be watchful over that. Now, what we should have learned about humanity is that as flawed creatures, we can find zeal for God when we can design, listen to me, when we can design a God that fits our concept of what God ought to be like according to our way of thinking. This is why the Israelites Paul was referring to could maintain their zeal. They had a God that they had created in their minds. And they called Him Jehovah. And they served Him like He was the one true God. But not only Paul, but the Lord Jesus Christ pointed out that they were not serving the one true God, but were serving the lusts of their own flesh, the wisdom of their own minds. Now I want to pause just a minute here on this and point out and remind us again that the God these Israelites were zealous about was one which they had used the Holy Scriptures to define. They had taken their Bible, and of course it was just the Old Testament at the time. They had taken their Bible, and they had read about God in their Bible. And in reading, they had conceived of what the Bible, that word, was telling them that God was, and that their religion should be, and they came out with their philosophy of God and their behavior in their religion based on how they saw it. And Paul and Jesus Christ, again, I say, pointed out that they were completely in error. That's the danger. Now, I'm giving us a warning about this because it's easier for the human mind to custom make God to fit what we conceive that He ought to be than to have the Word of God define God for us. Let me say it again. I'm going to repeat and repeat on this, but some of these points, I don't have time to dwell on them, but they're critically important to us understanding how this warning from Paul to a bunch of Jews that were off in the wrong kind of worship, how it could apply to us. And so these things are worth repeating again. It's easier for the human mind to custom make God to fit what we wish Him to be than it is to let the Word of God in spirit and in truth define for us what God is. Not what He's supposed to be, what He is. That's what we want to remember. Now, in the world of Christian religions, I've already suggested, there have been religious zealots, very zealous, if I might say, who zealously kill the people of God who opposed them, who spoke out against their practices and their doctrines that they had adopted and said came from God in the Scriptures. Amen. Do you see how far afield this can get, folks? Now, we've got so-called Christian religions today. I believe some of them would kill us all here in this church if they could. And they believe that we are the most smitten bunch of heretics that ever walked. And where did they get that notion? Reading their Bibles, praying to God, quote unquote, and asking God to give them understanding of the divine truths that He has for man. And voila, they've come up with some divine truths. And they say, that's what the Bible teaches, and those heretics ought to be dead. It's happened in the past, folks. We had centuries of it back during what we call the Dark Ages. And look, trust me, it was so-called Christians who killed the Lord's people en masse in those days. And so, in the world of Christian religion, there have been religious zealots who have opposed the people of God and stood for what they claimed to be the Word of God on a religion they claimed was a religion defined by God, and they were dead wrong. So we need to remember that. And right now, today, we don't yet see Christians, quote unquote, again, I put it in quotation marks, we don't see Christians trying to kill other Christians much. But today we do see that there are professing Christians who zealously condemn other people when those people do not believe exactly what they believe. And let me say that there are independent Baptists who do that also. I hope you see where I'm going with this. What good does it do for me to rail against a bunch of Jewish Pharisees that were spoken but written about in Romans 10 if we don't have an application for us as God's people? Now, so what we see today is that this very awful plague of imagining that those who have a different opinion are to be railed against and condemned to the lowest hell because they don't believe down the party line what we believe. Brother James makes a good point about that in Sunday school lessons often. The point he makes is, I'm going to paraphrase, is this. They are blind and ignorant. And they don't know beans about the things of God, even though they may pretend to. They don't. And being blind and ignorant, they're to be pitied. Now, the preacher must stand against them, and I do. Must preach against that kind of stuff, and I do. But pity the poor soul who's locked up to that kind of thing. But there are professing Christians today who, through a zeal for God, condemn people who do not believe every single thing that they believe. And I'll go a step further. There are independent Baptists who condemn other independent Baptists who don't believe the very thing right down the party line that they believe. I'm going to give you an illustration. I know a group of independent Baptists who zealously campaign to demand that anybody that comes to their church services not only should, but must obey the dress code of the church. Excuse me? Excuse me? The last thing I would ever want to do is for a lost person, or even a person who claims to be saved, that walks into this church and sits down in the pew, the last thing I would ever want to do is say, hey, your dress doesn't look just right. Or your slacks doesn't look just right. Or you've got on slacks and you ought to have on a dress if you're in this church building. Get out of here and go get you a dress. Folks, help me here. What is that? It's a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That's exactly what it is. Welcome the sinner. Welcome the ignorant believer with open arms, but don't try to impress upon them the fundamental formats of the church and the congregation. That's the thing we realize we want to do, because that's exactly, folks, what these Jews that Brother Paul is talking about were doing. They had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, and we're going to get into that. Now, this brings us to the next feature the apostle identifies, and that is the second part of that phrase. Not only did they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. When we look at the Israelites' practice of religion, we can't criticize their zeal about following the law, can we? I mean, we can criticize how they ended up interpreting it. But boy, did they have the zeal, and did they have the zeal to follow the religion as they saw it to be. And they were careful about that stuff. Jesus went into some details about how those hyper-religions of his day walked about and made prayers in the marketplace to be seen of men so that they could expose and display their religion, and how that they washed every little cup and every little platter just so clean, and how that they tithed of rue and mint and cumin, and how that they were so detailed in all those things that they felt like their religion commanded them to do, and therefore since their religion commanded them to do it, God must have commanded them to do it. And so, when we look at their religion, we simply cannot criticize their zeal about following the law. And today, folks, today, listen to me, this could easily be translated into what zealously religious people do when they toe the line of their denominational or congregational practices as though those things were the be-all and the do-all of their service and obedience to God. When people anywhere in the practice of their religion turn the behavior, the ceremonies, the practices of that religion into the be-all and do-all of serving God, they've already run off the rails, folks. We ought to have some real conscientiousness about doing the things that the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ direct us to do, but God forbid that we come to imagine that the practice of the religion is the thing that serves God, because it is not. Amen. We serve God with the heart, by the Spirit. And those doctrinal things and those church things that we know to be of the truth from the doctrine of God, they'll come out of all that. But when we turn those religious practices into what is supposedly the very serving of God, the doing of God's will, and that's all there is necessary to do God's will, we've got a problem. Because that's what these Jews were doing. The problem is the last little phrase, but not according to knowledge. And we'll get to that. Now, as I said earlier, we live in a world of religion where each religion has its own zealots, and many who have a zeal for their God, but that zeal is not according to knowledge. And we usually think about something other than Christians when we start talking about the world full of religion where each of these religions has their own zealots. For instance, we all are real sensitive and aware right now of the fact that in the world of Islam, the women have to wear their burqas when they go out in public. Can't keep that off their head and their body. They all have to, all Muslims have to prostrate themselves on their prayer mats facing east when they worship. We know about these kinds of things. They have to read their Quran daily in order to prove that they are serving God. And men, it even goes so far with Islam that men have to do honor killings of family members because those family members have transgressed the word of Quran, of the Quran. Those kinds of things are born of zeal for Allah. And where did they come from? They are not according to the knowledge of God. The schemings of the so-called wisdom of men's mind. In the world of Hinduism, and not many of us are familiar with Hinduism, but you've heard about it. In the world of Hinduism, worshipers incorporate this personal introspection, this personal reflection, and they incorporate art forms and group activities in order to get to some specific end in their religion, and in order to integrate the body and the mind and the spirit in order to help them to be the performer that they are supposed to be in order that they might evolve spiritually into a higher form of being. So they've got their zeal, they've got their definitions of zeal, and they've got their practices born out of zeal, not according to knowledge. Now in the world of Christianity, folks, we have the same thing going on. Some of them are patently obvious to us today. We have zealots that have translated their practices into the way to earn salvation. We know all about that here in the South, don't we? You've got to be baptized or you're not saved. You got to pray through or you're not saved, and blah, 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 blah. What is that, folks? That is putting the practices of a religion for God Himself. And so we find that in Christianity, there are a lot of things that go on that they do to earn favor with God or to impress their culture with their godliness. You know, we've got a lot of people today that live religion or do religion or practice their religion and act out religiously in order to impress their fellows out there in the public that they're a religious kind of person, that they're some kind of religious leader. That's part of this whole thing of doing things that are not according to knowledge. Now, they go through their requirements and they display those requirements and they preach those requirements and demand those requirements in order to display not only the religion, but curry favor with God. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, you might think that I've just been naming things that believers should do when I talk about so-called Christians wearing the right kind, if I were talking about them needing to wear the right kind of clothes, undergo baptism, be faithful to go to church, etc., etc. You might think I'm just been naming things that believers should do, and you're right, in part, as far as some of those things I named are true. But let me be clear about something, folks. And that is that a believer can do all these things with good intentions, the best of intentions. But if they are not done according to the knowledge of God, then they become a rejected thing of the Lord. I mean, think just a minute how many Christians across this world, and I'm using quotation marks when I say Christians, think how many Christians across the world today are doing their religious exercises, and they are doing them with the idea, sincere idea, that they are gaining credits with God. And that if they rack up enough credits, they win their way to heaven. I mean, think about that, folks, because that's the great tragedy of a lot of so-called Christian practices today, is people going about practicing their religion to gain credit with God. There is no gaining credit with God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that does not come to us or be accounted to our account because of the works we do. Now, what do I mean by doing things according to knowledge? What do I mean by that? Well, first I want to just review briefly why Paul could say that the zeal shown by those Israelites was not according to knowledge. I want to show that he's got something in mind. And after we've looked at Paul stating this thing, we'll then be ready to examine whether or not those things done according to the pattern that I mentioned can also be not according to knowledge. Now let me say that again. We're going to look at why Paul said what he did about these Israelites, and we're going to look at it with the idea in mind of examining whether things that are actually done that are doctrinally correct. If they're done the wrong way, not the act itself, it looks perfectly right. It looks perfectly proper. But if they're done because or according to the way a person handles them in his soul and mind, they may be done not according to knowledge. That's the thing we want to get down to. Now first, let's realize that the Israelites knew their Bible. Okay? Let's not forget that they knew their Bible. And so, I believe that it, when I look at people who have gotten off track on serving God and have begun to act out a religious life that is not according to knowledge, I believe that one thing I see in them very often is that they know their Bible. Yeah, they know their Bible. They can quote Scripture right and left. But these Israelites knew their Bible backward and forward, and yet they had a zeal of God not according to knowledge. Folks, I'm all for our young Sunday school class people memorizing Scripture verses. It's helpful for them to learn about God. But let me tell you something about that. If they memorize the entire Bible and they go into the bad habit of interpreting what that Bible is saying that they've memorized and adopt religious practices based on that erroneous conclusion that they've come to, they have a zeal or may develop a zeal of God, but it will not be according to knowledge. That's the thing we want to be aware of. Well, so the Israelites knew their Bible. But notice, according to Paul and the Lord Jesus, they still bummed along not understanding the spiritual message that the Scripture taught them. And believe me, the Old Testament is full of scriptural messages about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul has a great overview of this general trend away from properly understanding the Word of God and not having the knowledge of God. He has a great overview of this in Romans chapter 2. If you'll just flip over there a minute and with me look at this, I want to show you how he summarizes this here. In Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 17, he says, and again, this is an address to some Jews that were amongst those Roman brethren. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. In other words, that person is saying, folks, listen to me. Paul's saying, you folks know the law, and you're saying, this is the boasting part. I know my Bible. I know my Bible. That's what they're saying. So that's the first thing there in his summary of what people that lack knowledge but have zeal may actually have as part of their makeup. I know my Bible. Romans 2:18. And knowest his will and approves the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. They knew the things that God commanded them to do. We know that we're supposed to wash our religious utensils because God described it in all of the five canonical books, or at least four of them. He described how we're supposed to do it. And so we know how to handle the things that we do our worship with. And we know how to come into the presence of God with our offerings. We know how to do that. And it's described minutely about how to do it. And so, folks, what's he saying there that translates to modern day? I know what my church requires of me. I know the church rules. and I'm doing the church rules. So that's the second feature of a bunch of Jews who have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Do you see what's happening here when Brother Paul summarizes this? He's stripping away everything about practices and leaving those people naked about claiming that they're doing the will and work of God by removing those as he goes. Verse 19, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. I know how to give lost people and people that are astray. I know how to give them good advice. I know what they need to do. I can find it right here in the Bible. But when those Pharisees, when those Jewish zealots begin to tell those acolytes, those proselytes, what to do, what was the nature of what they were telling them, folks? It was all wrong. Because God shows us that in Paul's writings and in Jesus' teachings. It was all wrong. Although they said, they were saying, that's what, you know, I'm paraphrasing there and I'm using modern day terminology, but that's what they were saying. I know how to give people good advice. Do we? Do we, folks? That's the question that I would provoke every one of us to ask. Because these folks knew that they had it down pat. They knew exactly what God wanted, and they were able to be a guide, an advisor to other people seeking to serve God. Did they? Did they really have it? Verse 20, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Again, same thing. Verse 21, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? In other words, he's asking those Pharisees, those Jews, those ones who were zealous but not according to knowledge. Okay, so you're giving out a bunch of teaching. Are you doing it yourself? Are you practicing what you're teaching? Folks, how does that translate today? For God's people, in God's congregation, how does it translate? Are we practicing what we're preaching, folks? If we're not, I can tell you one thing. Proposed proselytes, disciples, whatever you want to call them, they'll see right through it. I can guarantee you. Verse 22. Or let's read verse 21. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? He's asking them a very buttonhole type of question. And we can ask ourselves the same thing. If we teach that God says, thou shalt not steal, do we steal? If we do, guess what? We negate our teaching, period. It's negated. He goes on. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? If you're teaching things like that commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, are you committing adultery yourself? If you're teaching that nobody should ever worship idols, are you, maybe even unbeknownst to you, he says, are you worshiping an idol? Let me tell you something about it. I'm going to answer that for these Jews. They were. Because they had come to worship their works for God. And that was nothing less than an idol. It was their manner of offering their religion that was worship. They paid attention to every little detail and considered themselves to be worshiping God. They were worshiping their own feeble brains, folks. And so the question is to us. And by these questions, Brother Paul simply summarizes, gives us an overview of what we need to understand about these Israelites, that they did not understand the spiritual message that Scripture taught. They were doing the actions that their own feeble brains had determined needed to be done to please God, and they were way off base. And might I say again, one more time, this same kind of snare can capture a believer's service and a believer's worship to the point that believers may think that they're doing the right things when they are not doing the right things. Amen. Now, what you have in your relationship with God is your personal thing. And I hope you inspect yourself enough to be able to answer honestly about this message. But I do know one thing. We've got what I believe are true Christians out in false churches today going through those religious practices out there with a diligence, with a zeal, and they think they're doing the right thing the whole time, and they're dead wrong. And that's the thing that we see. Folks will imagine that everything's cool, they're doing all the right stuff, and really, they're not. They're not doing it according to the knowledge of God. When we look at Christianity today in America, we find that just like these Jews, so-called Christianity today has twisted some of those doctrines and so forth that God has given us in His Word to the point that you wouldn't even recognize them as coming from the Bible, and yet they will stand on their solid rock and claim that they're right on in serving God. And it can happen to anybody. We got to know, folks. We got to know what God teaches. We find that there's a couple of examples, and I'm going to give these and then close. These Jews that Paul is rebuking, some examples of how they had so twisted God's word that they came up with their own doctrine. It's pretty obvious, but I'll give you a couple. When you go to Mark chapter 7 and read verses 10 through 13, you find out that there Jesus rebuked those Pharisees for that rule about taking care of parents. The rule of God says you'll honor your father and your mother. But Jesus says what you've done, and I'm paraphrasing, but you read it, you'll see this is exactly what He's telling them. What you've done, you've gone and said, I'm going to pay you this much, Mom and Dad, and I'm clear of any indebtedness to you from now on. I'm going my way, and I don't have to watch after you at all. I don't have to take care of you. I don't have to think about what's going to happen to you. This is my payment to you to clear me of any further responsibility for you. And Jesus condemned that. But they were so sure they had it all together in their doctrine about parents, and they were dead wrong. Now, they hold defined righteousness that they felt justified in accusing in chapter 9 of the book of John and verse 34. They had gotten to the place with their own definition of righteousness. They'd gotten to the place that they felt so justified in their righteousness that they were able to accuse that poor man that Jesus cured of blindness of being a sinner. Just like that. No, you go to chapter 9 of John. Read, they say, you're nothing but you can't tell us anything. You're nothing but an old sinner. You have nothing to tell us. Let me tell you something, folks. They had a zeal of God, but not according to righteousness. Let me tell you something about operating in the world. There are times in our lives as God's children that some lost sinner may have something to tell us. We need to remember it. They didn't. And sometimes I've seen Baptists get so self-righteous that they didn't have time to listen to a poor lost sinner say anything about spiritual things. They had the same attitude these guys did. They had a zeal of God, but not according to righteousness. That's what we see. We're going to stop right there, and this afternoon we're going to pick up with the next thought about this thing of having a zeal for God, of God, and that not according to righteousness. We're going to begin by looking at a way that we can translate this kind of feeling that these Jews obviously had in the modern day Christian behavior. I've already been doing that some, but I want to get right down to the lick log on it this afternoon, God willing.